In the mid bleak winter, light has come. Today we talk about joy. We lit the joy candle. The children celebrated all that is joyful about this time. And we sang Joy to the World. And that is appropriate. But I hate to break this to you. Did you know Joy to the World is actually a very unlikely Christmas carol? It actually wasn't written as a Christmas carol. It's not based on any Christmas passages. In fact, it's based on Psalm 98. Joy to the World, our favorite Christmas carol, isn't a Christmas carol. How'd that happen? Well, it was written by a guy named Isaac Watts. He was born in 1674 in England, and he was this child genius, a literary genius way before his time. He studied theology. As a teenager, as he went to church, they sang psalms that were put to music and kind of rewritten, and he didn't like how they were rewritten. He thought they just lacked theological depth and didn't have any New Testament nuance to them. So as a teenager, he complained to his dad, "Why do we sing those songs?" And his dad said, "Well, if you think you can do better, write your own." Okay. And so he started. One a week. By 1710, he had a compilation of 210 hymn texts. By 1719, he had undertaken a project to rewrite all of the Psalms, and he did all but 12 Psalms. And here's the collection. It's called The Psalms of David, Imitated in the Language of the New Testament. And one of them is Psalm 98, Joy to the World. Not written at all for Christmas. In fact, if you go to Psalm 98, it's about when Christ sets up his reign forever. It's about his second coming. Psalm 98:4, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song. Why? Verse 9, let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And from that we get joy to the world. The Lord has come. That last part, he will judge the world in righteousness. We get the fourth verse. He rules the world with truth and grace. That's what it's from. Even that weird verse, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ. Well, that comes from verse 4-5. Make music to the Lord with a harp, and the sound of singing. So let men take their instruments and praise God. And then we sing, well, fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy. What's that about? Verse 7, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. That's what it's from, Psalm 98. And it talks about when Jesus will return. And yet that mark of joy for Jesus to return means he had to come a first time. And even as Isaac Watts is looking ahead at the joy that will be ours when Jesus returns, there is in this psalm this sense, if we put him away now, if we forget the first coming, there'll be no second coming. But make no mistake about it, joy to the world is all about a truth we need to hear today. That joy isn't found in all the trappings. I think our grade 5-6 did it so well. And reminds me of a little story. After Christmas, it's like January 2nd. Family's putting away all of the tree and the decorations and the gifts and the nativity scenes. And as it's being hauled up into the attic, the little son says to his dad, "Do we store away Jesus too?" And I wonder in our world if we lack joy because we think it has to do with all the circumstances, the decoration, the hype, and everything else. And so Christmas becomes a break from all that is heavy. A little bit of a break from work. Extra special food that we eat too much of. Presents we give each other. Maybe some travel. And then the day after Boxing Day hits, or maybe we can extend it to January 2nd, or maybe we can extend it to the Monday after when everything seems to start again. And it's back to the heaviness. We pick up the sack of heaviness we left on Christmas Eve and we pick it back up. That lack of purpose that's in our routine, that sense that our world is not right, both our personal world and when we turn on the news, the whole world, broken relationships, just something not right in here. That making something right, what's wrong, it's never going to happen from our circumstances. Joy to the World says, no, it happens because of Jesus. And I just want to take a little bit of time this morning, after all we've seen, to be reminded through the words of the carol, what kind of joy did Jesus bring? How is this joy part of his coming? And the carol and the context in which Isaac Watts wrote it gives us three answers. First one is this. Jesus brings joy because there's a day coming, a day when he will ultimately set right all that is wrong. Jesus will come. Do you notice when we sing Joy to the World, it's not Joy to the World, the Lord has come. It is come. It anticipates a day he will come. I think of this time, we're traveling all over the place to meet different things, and the weather's often awful. Probably some of the worst Christmas travel our family's done has been to Camp Caroline, our church camp. And usually it had to do with our pastor's retreat, first weekend in February. It started Sunday night. We'd have our evening service back then and then get in the car and often drive through a blizzard. Now, it wasn't the circumstances of the road that gave me an anticipation of joy, let me tell you. It was knowing we're going to be with good friends in a good place, with facilities our children loved. And probably even if you've been to Caroline, a nice warm cinnamon bun fresh out of the oven. It's in that anticipation of what's coming. Verse 3 of Joy to the World, this is the one, if we really think what we're singing, we sing this at Christmas? No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He's come to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And then we repeat that at Christmas, far as the curse is found. And what is that about? Isaac Watts is putting a New Testament spin. Revelation 22, verse 3, pictures that day when he will rule the world with truth and grace. And it says this, no longer will there be any curse. He will come to let his blessings overcome the curse in this world, all that's wrong with it, because you and I, as God's creation, have said, I can do it better than you, God. That's sin. And all that's wrong in the world is us saying, God, we're going to take control away from you. And there's coming a day when Jesus returns, he's going to set that all right. And we're going to be in his presence, those of us who follow him. There'll be no more loss, no more sickness, no more dying, no more sin, no more selfishness. We can't even picture it now. But how's that going to happen? It wouldn't happen except for his first coming. And so while it's not specific in the hymn, the other truth Isaac Watts knew is this. Not only is there joy because Jesus will come, there is joy because he has come. He has come to make this setting right possible. I mentioned earlier that Isaac Watts was a bit of a child genius. As I was studying about his life in preparation for this, there's something he wrote, and they say he was 7 when he did this. He took his name, Isaacwatts, and he wrote a poem with a line starting with each one. So here's what he wrote about his last name, Watts. W, wash me in thy blood, O Christ. A, and grace divine impart. T, then search and try the corners of my heart, that in all things may be fit to do service to thee and thy praise too. Not bad for 7. But I look at those first two lines as a 7-year-old, long before he wrote Joy to the World. Wash me in thy blood, O Christ, and grace divine impart. He knew that for us to be restored, things to be set right, that curse had to be taken care of. Something had to be washed in us. And I wonder when he wrote, "Far as the curse is found," he was thinking also of Galatians 3. It says here in verse 13, Christ redeemed us, brought us back, made things right from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is anyone who is hung on a pole, hung on a cross." Our grade 3 and 4s told us that. It's about the cross. Jesus came to die. Because of that, what happened? He brought us back. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, that all that God intended to be given to his people, and we blew it because of our sin, Jesus took the curse of the sin. There's a story about a guy named Father Damien. There was an island in Hawaii, Molokai, and a village there where all the lepers were sent, a cursed village for those with this cursed disease. No one would go, and yet he went. Not only did he stay removed, he went right among them, built his home among them, embraced them, loved them, went into that cursed dead place with life. And then he contracted the disease and died. The curse came upon himself. Now where that breaks down is the others still had the disease, but Jesus came among us, lived without sin. But the Bible says when he hung on the cross, all of that sin came upon him. And it's like everyone else's leprosy now was given healing, because Jesus took it on himself. He took the curse. He took the punishment for our sin, so that we could be restored to God and one day live in a place where sin is completely abolished and we're restored. But Isaac Watts knew one more thing. He knew that that joy comes because Jesus will come. He knows it's there because he has come. But he says, you know what? That joy has to be received. That joy has to be received. We have to surrender to the offer. We sing it. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. The picture is Jesus coming with this amazing gift of life, a Christmas gift unlike anything you've had, but he stands at the door and he gently knocks, and it's whether you and I as human beings are going to make space in our life and time in our life to get over ourselves and say, what I need more than anything is that gift. And I open my life to that gift. Again, in the Bible, we have so many pictures of this. John chapter 1, verse 11 says this. Jesus came to that which was his own. He came among us. But his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to all who opened the door, to all who said, Lord, I need what you did for me on the cross. I'm looking for joy in life in all the wrong places. To those who did that, he gave the right to become children of God, restored to him. This Christmas, it is about the manger, but it's about so much more. This Christmas, it's about Jesus inviting us to enter into relationship with him. Today, do you know you walk in that relationship? It comes by receiving the gift, saying, Jesus, the mess in my life, it's me. I've taken over. And Jesus, I'm trying to fix my life through circumstances. Never going to happen. I need what you did when you died on the cross and took on yourself what's my junk. Thank you. I believe it, I receive it, and I want to walk in you. We enter into the joy of this life. And this doesn't mean it's all going to get easy. It just means we know we're restored in the midst of it all. Maybe today is your day to receive. But I look around, I know so many of you have received. Joy also comes, you know, as we live in this relationship and we live in this joy. Interesting verse, because it's so countercultural. John 15, verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I've loved you. Remain in my love. How do we do that? Well, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love. As I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So what'll happen? Verse 11, I've told you this so my joy may be in you. Jesus said, those of you in relationship, to live in the love of that relationship, to experience it, to live in the joy of it, live the way I ask you to. Live the way I designed you to. Joy comes when we align our lives on our way to heaven with how God said life is supposed to work. It's funny, this police force in Michigan, Lowell, Michigan, I saw the YouTube, decided to do something real strange. They would pull people over for minor things. Maybe they'd see a taillight out. And then they'd go and they'd start making small talk with the person. In it all, ask how Christmas is coming, then get the people to tell them what they wanted to get for their kids or themselves. And they were on the radio. As soon as they were able to get, oh, you want this for your kid, someone in a store nearby would hear it. They'd quickly pick it off a shelf. They had time, wrap it, take it to the police car. Police would come back pretending he was writing them up and come back instead of a ticket with a gift. It's on YouTube. And you got people going from frustration to confusion to joy. I think we have a world that looks in frustration at anything that says there's someone higher than you who actually knows how to live and is giving you direction. We go, no. But maybe God's truth is a gift. It's a source of joy. And he's inviting us who follow him this Christmas to say, where am I looking for joy in the wrong places? And instead of seeing God's direction as joy, seeing it as curtailing my freedom when really God is offering me freedom. Let every heart prepare him room. Well, it wasn't written as a Christmas carol, but it sure works, doesn't it? And that word is coming. It lets us both say joy is coming because Jesus is going to come to set everything right. He can do it because he has come to deal with a root issue, and that's our sin, our junk. Maybe today is your day to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I receive you. Because all of us ultimately need to receive the gift, and it is received by entering in and then received by walking in the truth. That as we make room in our hearts for the love, the truth, the direction, the Jesus who walks with us through his word and his spirit, we can sing joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let's pray. God, thank you for this joy. We've seen it already in the faces of our youngest, reminded of it in the skit of our grade 5 and 6, that yeah, the other stuff's good, but it's about Jesus. We don't store him away. They're reminded there's a cross involved. Someone had to take our sin. Reminded that in the midst of the bleak midwinter of our lives, light and joy can come. God, where we're looking for joy in the wrong places, show us, forgive us, restore us. And maybe today, as someone in the quiet of their heart is saying, it's time. Jesus, I enter into that relationship. Thank you for dying for me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness. I need it. I receive it. Forgive me. Lead me. And for all of us who follow you to say, God, we adore you. Lead us on the journey of life. We prepare our hearts and make room as we adore you.